baseball Armageddon, isn't it?
Oh, my God. I've never seen anything like this.
It used to be a baseball game. It's become something else. I'm not quite sure what it is.
It is absolutely amazing here. Just today, I mean, I came in here this morning. I'm a Red Sox fan. I've been a Red Sox fan for 800 years, mm-hmm. okay? But I'll be damned if I'm going to get involved in these discussions. And, mm-hmm. I mean, it's just too heated.
Well, I sort of feel like...
But if they win, we're playing that damn song till the grooves fall off it.
I sort of feel like, and this will segue neatly into the piece of paper that you're holding in your hand for a second, but I feel like everything is Armageddon. Like, you know, you read in the New York Times today that the two parties are pumping $350 million extra money into, you know, get out the vote efforts and stuff like that. Everybody has been sucked into the idea that the presidential election is the last battle. You know, it really is Armageddon. It's the final decision. And now the Red Sox-Yankee thing, it's become the same kind of thing. We don't really have an ability at the moment in American life to engage in a moderated way with something. You know, usually stuff happens, you go, oh, well, that would be great. That yeah. would be great if the Celtics won or something.
It would be.
But even if they won one game, that would
That's
be
That's what I'm talking about.
But, you know, that's usually how we... I mean, unless you're some kind of sports freak like Bobby or something.
Oh, and he is the biggest freak.
But, I mean, for normal people, you know, whether it's politics or sports or whatever, like, you know, you don't live and die with this stuff.
Politics, you might.
Well, you might. Well, you may literally die with it.
Yeah.
But now, I just do sort of... There's something in the air right now. It happens from time to time. And there's just a crackle in the air, you know, there's kind of a sense that everything matters. So we'll start with tonight, and that'll be Red Sox Yankees, and I don't know, you know, I mean, everybody has their own little plan. I was hoping maybe this is too much to ask for. I was kind of hoping Marianne would call back and talk to us in the Stuffed Bunny voice again today, just for good luck, you know, because it helped so much yesterday.
No, I have a feeling it has nothing to do with the good luck.
Yeah.
I think it has to do with... Lucky, maybe. That might have something to do with it. But,
I've actually asked a number of women to talk to me in the Stuffed Bunny voice since yesterday.
Sure you have.
Most of them have said no. Mm. But a few said yes. So anyway, so we got that. But, I mean, now to the piece of paper that you're holding in your hands. Would you like to
share it
with the rest of the class?
Came into possession of this. Mr. Pierce in the newsroom pointed this out. Military expert Pat Robertson said that he warned the president before we went into Iraq that we would have casualties.
Mm-hmm.
And the president said, I want to make sure I get this exactly right here. What is this, something the effect of we're not going to have any casualties?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. Oh no, he said, here it is. Oh no, we're not going to have any casualties. What a stupid thing to say.
I think this sort of basically does... first of all, it's kind of interesting that Pat Robertson would be doing this right now. I'm not quite sure what that's all about or why he would be kicking the legs out from under President Bush. But
yeah, it's a good time to bring this up.
Keep in mind, these two people deserve each other. I mean, they just, you know, no two people could deserve each other more. But, so he's on the Paula Zahn show. Paula Zahn now.
Yes.
You know? And...
Oh, I just saw this part.
This is great. And he tells this story. The Lord talks to Pat?
Yeah.
But Pat, it turns out that the Lord talks to Pat. And Pat Robertson says, I mean, the Lord told me it was going to be A, disaster, and B, messy. And so since the Lord had mentioned this to Pat, Pat thought, pretty good idea.
Wait a minute. The Lord also talks to Bush.
Yeah.
So what's he doing, telling two different stories?
Well, the Lord, I think, has told Bush that he wanted to start seeing other people.
I have. As you know, I've been walking around here in somewhat of a stupor today.
Yeah.
But I've just learned that this is Mickey Mantle's birthday.
Oh.
There is no chance in hell that the Red Sox can win Game 7 tonight. Mm-hmm. I am a changed man, and in Mickey's honor, I'm going to go drink till sports are off.
All right, well, that would be the appropriate way. I do want to say that, you know, Mickey Mantle at one point opened up some chicken restaurants. He was going to open up a chain of chicken restaurants. I don't know if did they ever actually get open.
They did, yes.
Yeah.
They did.
And he, for his slogan, he wanted the slogan to be, to find a better piece of chicken, you'd have to be a rooster.
And that sounds like Mickey.
Which...
This has changed my whole life. It is a sunny day now. in Yankee.
I already told you how this is going to work.
But I didn't believe you.
Yeah.
I had the bag over my head.
I was getting ready
for life in Bora Bora.
Yankee fans don't understand tragedy.
It's a whole different.
Yeah.
It's a whole different outlook at things, though. And I wanted to share it with my two best friends in radio.
Yankee fans go to.
Ray and Diane aren't here now. I thought I'd come in here.
All right. Yankee fans go to like Hamlet, and they go, I don't get it. Why is he dead? Doesn't he like kill everybody and win and then rule for 1,000 years? I don't get that. Yankee fans have no appreciation of tragedy. We understand what's going to happen.
I know you do. But I feel much better now knowing it's the Mets first.
I'm thinking ninth inning.
I won't take the ninth. They'll do it like last year.
No.
Ninth inning, Ruben Sierra jacks some, Mike Timlin's fastball.
If Mike Timlin's in the game in ninth inning and Keith Foulke is, Terry Francona should not worry about going back to Boston.
He's a full guy. He must be kind of burned out. They're all burned out.
He was great last night.
You know, I was...
Look at, as he was just called on another sports talk show, John Wayne Schilling.
Great.
He had that little piece of...
Great last night. What do you mean great last night? Two guys in the ninth inning.
He struck out 87-year-old Tony Clark to end the game.
That had the setup. That had the setup of Red Sox tragedy, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
When you saw that, here's Tony Clark, who played for the Red... Or at least he was there with the Red Sox.
183 for the Red Sox.
Okay, and I just sat there and I go, okay, this is it. It's over right here. Okay, this is going to be done right now. Tony Clark hits the home run, the end.
That was not a great relief performance. You're not getting it done.
But anyways, it's the Mick's birthday. It's a better day of instruction. Right.
I was so tired last night.
You don't believe this anyway.
No,
who
I
are you
seriously
kidding?
I do. I seriously.
You honestly believe that?
Yes, until I saw this Mickey Mantle thing, I honestly believed the Red Sox would win. And as I had promised on the radio yesterday, I would go to Bora Bora. I sent an email out to my friends who are Yankee fans.
Bora Bora's pretty
amazing.
Nice. Why don't you volunteer to go someplace really horrible?
Why don't you go like Newark or something?
You know why? If I want to live out my wretched existence, I want to live it out in luxury.
You go to Revere.
We'll go to Bora Bora.
Next week. What are you wishing on?
Go to Dorchester or something like that. Jamaica Plain. Come on.
Birmingham?
That's too good.
I was so tired last night. You know, I'm 50 years old now. I'm not a young man anymore.
No,
10:45 is bedtime for me usually. And so I was actually doing the thing where you will yourself to wake up for every pitch. Like, you know, he'd throw one pitch and I'd kind of go, okay. And I'd snap my eyes back open just to see the other one.
Well, anyways, this Mickey Mantle, Yankee fans, be aware it's the Mets' 73rd birthday.
Yeah.
If he hadn't, drank his liver into a beer.
Yeah.
It was a small snack.
It's also Jose Tartable's birthday, so they could cancel one another.
I'm going to go look that up.
Is it? No, I'm making that up.
You're in big trouble.
I'm making that up.
Jose Tartable.
See you in 5.
All right. 16 after 3 is his time.
Back to Robertson?
I would think.
Yeah. So, Pat says... the Lord told me it was going to be A, a disaster, and B, messy. I like the way the Lord outlines things. A, a disaster, and B, messy.
Yeah, I do. I like the Lord talks like us.
Lord, B,
da-da-da-da-da, or one, da-da-two.
Because even with the Ten Commandments, it wasn't one, thou shalt
right.
kill.
Two.
You didn't do that. It wasn't like Letterman or something.
No.
And the number one top Ten Commandments.
No, it didn't work like that.
So anyway.
Lightning bolts are going to hit here. He outlines things.
So then Pat, kind of sensibly, said to George W. Bush, the President of the United States, he said, why don't you kind of, say something in the United States just to prepare everybody, prepare the people for the likelihood of casualties. And at that point, the President said, we're not going to have any casualties. It's an exaggeration to say that.
Exaggeration.
So just in case you think that there was any sort of fuzzy thinking that went into the Iraq invasion, fuzzy doesn't even cover it.
But again, if Bush talks to God and Pat talks to God, can't they get their story straight?
Yeah, or maybe they could get one of those Verizon plans, where they're like...
Yeah.
If you save money sometimes, if there's like more than one person.
T-Mobile's got this couple thing.
That's what I mean. You can usually save money if you have more than one person on the line. Anyway, our numbers, speaking of phones are 522-WTIC. This is a good time to call us because things are going to get kind of busy as we go along here. It is true that, in fact, political commentator and columnist Sinbad will be joining us later on today.
Wait, hold it. What?
Sinbad will be with us. Sinbad? This is all because Sinbad and Joy Behar and I are doing a gig in New Haven tomorrow night. And we've been looking for a project to work on for quite some time. So
Sinbad.
We're performing the Mikado together. It's a very different version of it. Gilbert what Sullivan, is if you've never seen it.
Just out of curiosity, yeah. What has Sinbad been up to recently?
I'm sure he'll tell us. No, he's been doing a lot of USO stuff. I think that's actually a little...
I like Sinbad, personally.
I like Sinbad, too, and he doesn't work blue. You know who works blue now? Oh, my God. I was going to tell you about this the minute you walked in the door today, and something just flushed it out of my brain. You know who works blue now?
No.
Paul Harvey. Paul Harvey told a peenie joke on the air today.
What?
He told a peenie
Paul
joke.
Paul Harvey?
Paul Harvey told a peenie joke. I almost fell out of my car.
Wow.
Paul Harvey's working blue.
Maybe Paul needs to have a chat with...
Yeah, maybe God needs to spend a little time talking to Paul.
Well, Paul...
I always assumed that they died on...
Refresher course.
I always assumed anyway that Paul was like, you know, almost like the Speaker of the House in U.S. chain of succession or whatever. I mean, I just assume if God's busy, there's like two or three angels and something. And then it's baby Paul. You know, we take over some of his duties.
Right.
But anyway, yeah, Paul Harvey told a wiener joke.
Wow.
Yeah. It wasn't even a joke. It was an anecdote.
And you're going to be sharing that with us?
Maybe if people are good, if all of you are good out there.
Thank God.
I don't know
for
what that. My concern is, we don't carry Paul Harvey on this radio station.
No.
It might be a copyrighted Paul Harvey wiener joke. But I'm sure if I state the source, I'm okay.
What do you mean copyrighted? It was on a public, airway.
I feel I'm safe. I wouldn't be like sort of, there wouldn't be an intellectual property issue if I tell this. As long as I'm crediting Paul Harvey.
This is great. Other talk show hosts are getting sued for $60 million for, you know, supposedly.
And Paul Harvey goes out there and talks.
Not that. I mean, here you are worried about a copyright problem.
Well, I'm just being careful. I mean, the man's a broadcasting legend.
Yeah. You're giving him credit, though.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
It's not like you're stealing it and using it for your own.
So when we come back,
this time.
You're all good. You all have your vegetables. We'll have a Paul Harvey Wiener joke.
Wow.
Once upon a time, the grave was dug for the 2004 Boston Red Sox.
All right, we're back. So, we can talk to Ron, I guess.
There's a ringing endorsement.
Yeah.
We can talk to Ron.
We have to talk about the metaphysical theory that was advanced here in the studios today, although not while I was here, but by Dr. Courtney Gein, our science editor.
Right, she was in here today.
Yeah. But my understanding is she has this, maybe Ron can hold. He's like, what am I saying? Would we have to get to Ron right away? He's a severed head sitting in the saline solution. Where is he going to go? It's not like he's going to run out to Walgreens because he's tired of waiting.
He's up there in Canada. He's got a few more stores.
Waiting for the nurse to come and turn his head so he can look a little bit more at the trees or something. My understanding is you were there and I wasn't.
I was,
what I was filtering about to me is the Dart and Dr. Courtney Gein is a theory, and I guess she's a recent convert to the Red Sox.
Rookie.
And her metaphysical theory is that if enough people become Red Sox fans who haven't been Red Sox fans under the time of the curse, that the curse can be reversed.
Right.
Am I representing your accurately?
Anybody who's a first-year Red Sox fan wouldn't buy into the crap that we've had to endure knowing that they could blow it at any second.
But it wasn't even a psychological statement, my understanding. It was more of a metaphysical statement.
Yeah.
The curse would begin to lose power
right.
if there were people who weren't
assuming
familiar with it.
That there is a curse.
Who didn't believe in it. The curse actually derives power from people's belief in it.
Yes, I think that's exactly it.
We hope we're representing your views accurately.
Bang.
First and foremost, it's one of the best things I do.
Goldsmith and Lombardo floor covering has kept...
Speaking of which, okay, so here's the... I'm listening to Paul Harvey. He used to be a decent Christian man. And so he starts talking about this chef in England, in London, who injured himself recently. And he said he wasn't home. This is like some TV chef and stuff like that. He said he canceled some episodes. And he was at home cooking for himself and his wife, naked. And he opened the door to the oven, and the roast was so hot that he burned certain things. This is Paul Harvey. Good day. I'm not making this up. I heard this.
I'm sure you did. Was a meat thermometer involved in this?
He's just saying that basically the guy was cooking naked. He opens up the oven and he burns certain things.
Yeah.
Certain things that are not accustomed to intense blasts of heat. Tender little things that ordinarily are protected. I mean, I don't think there was any mystery what he was talking about.
Well, I wouldn't think.
Paul Harvey's working blue. You're looking at me like you don't even believe that I actually heard this.
I have never, ever had a doubt in any of the time we spent together here, ever had a doubt about anything that you say.
I accept it
as gospel.
Paul Harvey, and how old is Paul Harvey now?
Oh, he's got to be
117 minimum, something
right
like
up
that.
There.
Telling wiener jokes on the air. And the other thing about Paul Harvey, let me just also say that...
A wiener joke.
Or a wiener anecdote, or a wiener... I don't know what you would call it, but...
Wiener happening.
The other thing about Paul Harvey is that there's never been anybody who could segue from his little news reports or whatever, into a commercial with no discernible change of tone or anything like that.
Nope.
So it's always, I'll say... And so the fighting continues in Fallujah. 1 out of 9 Americans has iron poor blood, and citracol can actually change. You're halfway into the course, you go, oh, wait a minute, this isn't part of the news report. This is some crappy product. And there's no music, there's no change of voice, there's nothing.
Lovely.
He just sort of, he just goes, so, Kerry leads by 2 percentage points. You know, many Americans also report that they have, and it's unbelievable.
Yeah, you're right.
And yet, Janet Jackson, they punished Janet Jackson. And Paul Harvey, Paul Harvey may even be showing us a similar thing when he's recording these things.
Westbound 84 is stop and go from downtown.
Well, those of you who wonder what you're going to look at tonight when there's no bloody Curt Schilling ankle, we have some exciting news. Mark Bellhorn has a sore on his neck, a running sore of some kind.
Yeah.
It's time for Sport That Ride, the very French sports because they matter. Mr. Ambrosio, Mr. Bruce Stevens, and myself.
Very nice.
That's it.
Yeah, very nice.
Here. Game 7. I got no spots. I've seen the logs.
All right, you take responsibility when the traffic starts wig out, all right?
Who?
You do.
You guys will go on forever?
Yeah.
On four roads in Connecticut?
This is from Laura Richards in Wellington, New Zealand. Dear Mr. Ambrosio, what do seals, or any other marine mammals for that matter, drink?
They don't drink water, which is surprisingly. They drink a combination of, not water, they factor out the water. They will drink products that are deposited into the sea, which is somewhat unfortunate. They're also, and this is a little known fact, that seals actually do like certain kinds of rum. There are some rums that are indigenous to the North Pole.
Naturally occurring rums?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. They get them from the rocks and the barnacles in the ocean, and they really do like sweet, spicy rums. So that's it.
Yeah.
It'll hurt them more.
It explains a lot of field behavior.
By sweeping them in force.
We do have a copy of Fahrenheit 911 to give away, right?
Yes, we do. Yep.
Well, no, we're going to give away one. You don't even listen.
He's out of control.
He's in my headphones right now. No,
he's out of control.
Gano, our marketing director, said we give away one a day. With the one today, one tomorrow, and one on Friday. That's what he told me. He also said to me, and this was like really disturbing, first of all, I'm not dressed very well today. And he actually looked at me and goes, that's a nice look.
Well, well, it is.
No, I look like I've been discharged from something.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it says something.
I think I was very busy.
Were you out hiking today, by the way?
Yes, I was. Why?
Yeah, I saw your car.
Huh.
No, I wasn't spying on you. I just happened to go by.
Before I went up to clear my head up in the mountain.
That's a good idea.
But But I look, as a result, I look like I've been, an unsuccessful discharge from a treatment facility.
No, I'm well.
But anyway, sitting within that, I look. Anyway, so the people have to call, somebody has to call out to 1-800-953-1080 and give the secret greeting to Bobby. And you'll win a free copy of Fahrenheit 911. No, not that number, dork face. 1-800-953-1080. So somebody's calling the wrong number.
Once again, that number. Once again, here's the concept. Okay, the idea is to kind of keep people listening.
And not call the listeners dork face?
Right.
All right.
That tends to drive
them away. I'm sorry I called you dork face, whoever you are, but you are calling the wrong number.
Dork face. Yeah.
So anyway, I think we have a winner. Somebody's calling up right now to give Bobby the secret greeting, the Secret Prison Colin Show greeting.
What would that be?
I'd love to find out.
I'm sure it's that secret.
Yeah.
It's so secret.
I certainly wasn't told. Maybe
we don't even know what it is.
Yeah, I certainly was not told. I was kept in the dark. I'm considered a bad security risk. Or I was not told what the greeting was. Anyway, if you want to call and just do some talk radio with us, we have time for that. 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Star WTIC.
Is everybody giving this thing away, or is it just us?
Well, buddy, I believe. No, I can't. I can't use that. You really want to get me in trouble, don't you?
I wondered. I'm thinking, let's just throw this out and see what happens.
No,
that's fine.
Yeah. Our buddy's doing some, box Lenny Riefenstahl set, I think. I believe we are the only show giving away Fahrenheit 911. Although Diane is giving away positively Fahrenheit 911, which is slightly different. Sort of takes all the aspects of 911, which is the good side, the happy side.
Right. Kind of sanitizes it a little bit.
Well, I didn't say sanitize.
Oh, okay. Well,
I don't think I said that.
You didn't say that. I threw it in.
No, I said just looking on the brighter side.
Looks on the brighter
side of it. Yeah. Things, other reasons just to go on enjoying life. Anyway, we'd like to thank everybody else who out with today's show and all of our wonderful guests, including Sinbad and Joy Behar and the Transhumanist Guy and State Representative Denise Merrill, all of whom were wonderful guests, and our wonderful, wonderful producer,
Mr. Bobby Sherwood, looking on the positive side.